Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, Charlottesville, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. The Dench, I have no idea what that is. No Judy Dench in here today. All right, alongside me we have...
Alex Goma.
Mark Kaufman.
I'm Daniel Rothamel.
And I'm Christian Gaudencio.
We're being very official today. It's Andrew Richardson, by the way. I have to put that out there, too. All right, so let's roll on. First game was actually on Monday. It was Monday. Brighton versus Stoke.
Oh, for last week.
We didn't get to it, though.
We didn't get to it.
So that was a 2-2. Did anyone catch this game?
Watched it. Don't remember it.
I don't remember it either. I've got all the goals scored here.
It was a fun match, as I recall. That's about all I recall.
Yeah, it was 2-2. Good Gross. Result in the end.
Yeah, weren't we talking about... We were talking about this on text message, that it was an exciting game for 2-2. Christian, I thought it was you that said, who would have thought that Brighton Stoke would be a billboard for the beautiful game?
That is what I said, and I would stand by it. I wish I remembered more of it, but we've had so much football since then, Champions League and Friday match, and this weekend, it's been a busy time. It's a good time of the year.
It's all getting busier, too.
Right. Let's all roll on then. Go on to the Friday game. We got a car alarm going off outside. That's interesting. All right, so Friday we had West Ham versus Leicester City. And does anybody... Everyone's pulling their car keys.
We're all making sure that
it's not their car. So the game was West Ham versus Leicester City. I thought West Ham... I mean,
apparently it was me.
Alex.
Someone's trying to get in the...
I wouldn't have taken Alex.
Someone's trying to get in the car.
Alex's car. Always Alex.
It's a good-looking car. What can I say?
All right, so West Ham versus Leicester City. West Ham, I mean, it's a point. It's better than...
I heard a crazy stat during the game, is that West Ham have never won at the London Stadium, their new stadium, when they've conceded a goal. Isn't that crazy?
I think it's even crazier that Moyes has not won a home match in the calendar year of 2017, his first stint at Sunderland and now here at West Ham. Granted, this is only his second match at West Ham, but he's not off to a good start. I think it's a point earned for West Ham, for sure. Mm-hmm. They played awful. It was a really tough match to sit through. Right. Leicester got their early goal, and then there were so many moments where West Ham would get the ball up the pitch, and they just ran out of ideas, and it's not as if Leicester's defense is... stalwart. I mean, I just was not pleased with seeing what West Ham have done. But it's early days for Moyes there, too, so maybe he's got time to work.
Do you think he will keep West Ham up?
No.
No.
Well, I don't think
West Ham goes down.
I don't think he'll keep West Ham up because he won't be there to see them go wherever they go.
I was saying this. Like, they've got obviously the Christmas period coming in now where you've got so many games coming thick and fast. If I was him, I would have waited until January and been like, I'll come in January, at least he'll look good.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're Moyes, you're looking for any game, any gig that you can get.
It's high risk.
It is high risk, sure.
I think it's a good gamble.
But it's also West Ham. I mean, it's one of the better top 10 club, if not more than that, probably top 8, maybe I would even go as far as saying.
A London club, big stadium, new stadium to a Premier League side. But I think it's a good gamble on both their parts where it's only a year contract for Moyes with West Ham, so both sides can sort of walk away at this at any point, I think, and move on.
But I didn't like the hire. I said it at the beginning that I thought Moyes was not the right man. I still don't think he is. Just because he gets a point doesn't change my mind here. I think it was an uninspired hiring. I think there were other people out there.
It's a bad hire by a bad soccer team.
But who else do they have? I mean, they've obviously had...
There's Big Sam?
Well,
Pardew.
Big Sam already... He's been
Sam's not coming back there. I mean, right. the supporters basically chased Big Sam out of West Ham. They didn't want to see that style of football anymore. I mean, he got them results, which I think speaks bigger than your style of play. I mean, ultimately, if you have to play pragmatic, then that's what you have to do, given the talent that you have. But they've just been on such shaky ground for, a year and a half, 2 years now? I'm with Alex. I could see where this doesn't go very far for Moyes if he can't get them out of the drop. The race at the bottom, is fascinating. We have the Manchester Club solidifying at the top. Then we've got about 10 teams all going mid-table. And then we've got another 8 to 9 teams all within relegation scare time. So it's,
yeah, well, Everton are just 2 points off the relegation zone.
One of you asked earlier today, can anybody save Everton? I think the answer is Swansea and West Ham. Because, like, Everton is in rough shape right now. And they'd be in much worse shape if not for West Ham and Swansea being below them, miraculously.
And Crystal Palace, who now have gotten some good results and are getting better because they're getting healthier. So everybody had an opportunity to sort of bury Crystal Palace when they were only on no points there for a long time and then 1 point for a while. And now suddenly Crystal Palace, I think, are only a point behind Everton or just 2 points. It's not far off.
And 1 point, yeah. Crystal Palace, 20th, 8 points on 13 matches. Swansea City, 9 points. West Ham, 10. And then West Brom just above them, 11.
Yeah, so it's the race at the bottom is going to be very interesting. Right. I think we may be talking more about that going forward. Than
it's never good, though, when basically you're having to rely on other teams' failures to help you save you. I mean, that's never a good kind of way of looking at it.
Hey, staying up is staying up.
Right. I mean, it's tragic.
It doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to be accomplished.
Right. All right, so let's move on to the first game of the weekend, and that was, of course, Spurs versus West Ham. Pass it over to a resident Tottenham fan.
West Brom.
Oh, yeah, West Brom. Sorry. Yeah.
So this was a rough one for Spurs. You know, I thought going in that this was going to be another one of those games where the opposing team will pack the box and kind of put 11 behind the ball and make it tough, and that's exactly what they did. West Brom got out to an early lead off of a... It seemed pretty innocent the way it started. It was a throw-in from Trippier to Dele, and Dele tries to make a move one way, left another way. And then Livermore, former Tottenham man, gets on the end of it. All of a sudden, passes to Rondon, who's running stride for stride with Sanchez. And Sanchez just muscles him off the ball. Sorry, Rondon muscles Sanchez off the ball and takes kind of a scuffed shot. Lloris flat-footed and goal. I mean, it was... I was surprised that
the
it was easy as it was. You know, it was basically the perfect start for West Ham. After that,
Brom.
I'll just say Brom. Anyway,
you got your Hams, your Broms,
the baggies. Thank you. So yeah, it was a great start for West Ham. Brom. I was about to do it again. I'm thinking too much about it now.
Drink every time we say West Ham instead of West Brom.
I'm going to say West Ham just so everyone drinks. So then after that, yeah, I mean, Spurs were on the front foot. I mean, they had a majority of the possession. They ended up with 70%+ of the possession the rest of the game. They had plenty of chances throughout. In the end, Dele Alli to Harry Kane levels it in the second half. But really, Rondon had another chance to win it at the end with Matt Phillips crosses it in. You know, I was hoping that someone would bail us out in the end. Son had a few chances. And, you know, we played a 3-5-2, which I thought was a little interesting. I thought that's the way to do it, to play it. I would have played, instead of Winks, actually, I would have brought in Dembele just to have a little bit more kind of a forward thinker. Not, we didn't need, like, some kind of technical player like Harry Winks. Anyway, it was a great result for West Brom. And, you know, really, obviously, that's one that is going to hurt for Spurs in the end. Now Arsenal is ahead of Spurs for the first time in a while, and
that hurts for Spurs as far as title race chances are concerned. I think that takes them out of the top two. They're going to be in a real battle for the top four. It kind of stinks for Spurs because they caught West Brom, you know, with a new manager, so they get that new manager bounce. You know, it changes the whole vibe. It was just a tough time for Spurs to catch. I know that sounds weird, but it was a bad time for Spurs to catch West Brom.
I think Pulis had really poisoned West Brom at that point too. Rondon was just completely lost with Pulis. There was a bad relationship going there for a long time. I could see how they were going to come and play Spurs tough. Ultimately, Spurs still aren't totally comfortable, I think, at home at Wembley. And Harry Kane's team, again, has to rely on him to save them. If he doesn't score, I don't know what the answer is. The turnover by Ali was really kind of shocking. I mean, I don't see him playing that deep normally anyway, but the West Brom player just walked up to him and basically took it off him.
Yeah, they played both Eriksen and Ali in the midfield in an attempt to create space and have an extra man in the midfield. Played Son up top with Kane. I didn't think that it was a bad tactical decision to have extra men in the midfield, because they end up coming back anyway whenever these teams pack the midfield. But what? Yeah, I mean, you just can't give the ball away against anyone at that level, and you know it was just a really bad move. I thought Spurs looked a little tired from the Champions League.
Is this a hangover match from?
I think it was. I mean, absolutely. So they went to Dortmund and won 2-1. Had a great
first
second half.
Second English side ever to do that, I think, to go to Dortmund and win it.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so Spurs now top of the table in the Champions League over Real Madrid because of it's head to head, not goal differential, and you know they're looking great in the Champions League. You know, I think if you're a Spurs fan, the goal is I think we could win. I think it's unlikely. Obviously, we're not like the upper tier favorites, I would say, but we're probably in that second tier level of people that could win it. Where
dark horses?
Yeah, you know, it would be a surprise.
To me, the thing to watch with Spurs going forward is how they play against teams who do what West Brom did, who pack it in, and I think this is why people are putting too much on the stadium, like that, you know, it's their ground that's affecting the way Spurs plays. I don't think it is. I think it's a tactical thing that they struggle with when teams pack it in and they're forced to try and break a team down, as opposed to they want to play more open, free-flowing football. So, like, against Dortmund, they're able to play that way because both sides kind of want to play that way. Against Real, both sides are going to want to play that way. Against West Brom, they're just going to sit there with 10 people behind the ball most of the game, and Spurs is going to have to break them down. And they struggle with that a little bit.
That's not a new thing. The Spurs have struggled with
right.
that historically
yes,
as well. It's
well,
not a,
and City know it well. This is what you have to do against these sides who don't have the talent. You have to break them down.
Right.
They're happy to come in and take that point off of you. And like you said, they had an opportunity to win the match at the end.
Yeah. All right, guys.
I know
don't forget
all about it as an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. Don't forget, guys. You're listening to Blokes on the Bench. We are running some quick polls on our Twitter page, BOTB Soccer. Our quick polls are: Big Sam has been linked to the Everton move again. If he took a job, would he keep them up? And out in 78%, we have yes. We also have our goal of the weekend. We have Shaqiri, Kane, Sigurdsson, and Willian. And up in front at the minute, Shaqiri in 67%.
Can we really put Willian on there?
Yeah, that was
the Shas.
Yeah, well,
it counts.
You know what? You were saying the same thing,
Christian.
It's still
pretty when it went in.
You were saying the same thing. This weekend didn't have a lot of great goals. And then, obviously, the other poll question was, this weekend's clash between Liverpool and Chelsea ended 1-1. So was it points won for Chelsea or points lost for Liverpool? And 80% say that points won for Chelsea.
Agreed. So. That's a good one. I think
how
I
about
came up
that Griezmann goal, though, midweek in Champions League?
Right. That was something else, yeah.
All right, guys, so let's move on to Swansea versus Bournemouth, which was not much going on there.
Hey, I mean, Boney finally scored, except it didn't count.
Six yellow cards. Six yellow cards. That was pretty much all I took from that game.
Swansea with one shot on goal. They're going down. I mean, it's just a matter of time. It's unfortunate to see.
They almost went down last year.
Yeah, they did, and we're going to lose football in Wales. Although Cardiff is doing really well in the championship, I think we're going to see them come into the league next year.
Well, I mean, they're still going to play football in Wales. They just won't play Premier League football.
Wolverhampton are looking good as well.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Mullen
That's
boys.
True, yes.
Yeah, I heard an interview with the Cardiff City manager this weekend on TalkSport who was saying how much he enjoys being in the championship and is not looking forward to possibly coming up to the Premier League because the pressure to stay up is so high in the championship. They can just play football and go for it and have a good time. So it's interesting.
Yeah, but that, come on. I'm sure the supporters aren't saying that, right?
I'm sure they're not, but I think the pressure for a manager, and I'm not sure who it was. He sounded like an older fellow that maybe he's just happy having the job and playing football without that pressure. But this job, there's only 20 men who have it, and it's tough. I mean, the demands in the Premier League are higher than any league in the world because of the amount of money that's involved.
Right.
Yeah, and to talk about that Boney goal, I mean, if you looked around, no one was really even asking for the foul. That's the part that got me. It was like the foul, and everyone thought it was like blowing the whistle, that's a goal. But then he's pointing at and everyone was like, wow, okay, that was a foul. All right, great. Woo. I mean, it was a weird situation. Leroy Fer also had a great chance in the second half. He went through a number of players I think he took on about at least three players, and then he had a chance blocked by the goalie, and then a second chance, which he just he either could have crossed it over to Sung Myon Ki, but he, in the end he took it on himself and it just shot wide. I mean, he could have just chipped the keeper there. That was a sitter, if you will. Disappointing result for Swansea. Those are the games they need to win in order to stay up, and right. They're not winning them. They get a point. Maybe that's decent for them.
Yeah, but Bournemouth isn't an easy opponent, so it's not saying Bournemouth went in trying to win that match or hoping that they were going to win the match, but I think a fair result is a point apiece.
Right. So moving on to the next game, we have a team here that have kind of hit a bit of a dip in form, another team that are punching above their weight, Newcastle versus Watford. That was a cracker.
That was a good one.
That was a good game.
All the promoted sides lost this weekend. I don't know if that's happened yet this season, but Newcastle, I don't know what's going on there right now. Right. They're not playing very well, but guess who is playing really well? Watford.
Will Hughes. Looks like he could be somebody that maybe clubs are eyeing up for, you know.
Richarlison is a really good player for them as well. And
yeah, he was linked with Spurs recently.
Marco Silva, the pounds bid for him has to keep getting higher and higher as weeks go by because Watford are doing very well for themselves.
And Andy, you're right. I mean, Will Hughes, that was only his fifth appearance for the club, fourth appearance in the Premier League. He's had two goals in the last two games. This guy played for Derby. He's only 22 years old. He has a bright future ahead of him if he can continue up this kind of play.
So here's an interesting thing I was thinking about. Marco Silva, the manager of Watford, who's highly sought after by Everton, if he keeps this team in that 6-8 spot, does he even want to leave?
Right.
No.
I mean,
no.
Well, wait a second. To take a club like Watford into Europe means that you're going to be fighting on a front that you are totally not prepared for on any your club. Right. The size of that club is not big enough. They would have to buy.
Kind of like Leicester City.
Yeah, like Leicester and like Everton a few years ago.
Leicester held it pretty well together, though.
Newcastle back in 2010, I believe, when they made Europa, they got into Europe and they just imploded completely.
Well, you have twice as many matches you're
right.
playing.
You're playing on Thursday nights, which most of us here don't know that what that feels like, but some of us do.
Thanks, Christian. It's
not easy, you know, and I would. It's almost like, yeah, you do want to win that accolade to get into Europe, but at the same time, be afraid what you ask for because Europe is not going to be easy. I think if they finish in the top eight, Marco Silva is on his way to anywhere he wants to go.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, where can you go someplace that's better? I mean, he's not going to go to one of the top five clubs. I mean, he could switch leagues maybe, but I mean, are you really going to go to Everton? Let's say Everton stays up and they're like 15th. I mean, you really going to go to Everton? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I think he needs to hit up Elton John for money if they're going to have to buy a player.
There you go.
Tiny dancer.
Well, I mean, my take is I think you're spot on with the thing that you said. You actually semi-dismissed. Different league. I mean, all of us are so focused on the Premier League. I mean,
yeah, I could see him going to a different league.
Silva played across Europe during his career, and he's already coached in Greece. In Portugal, now he's in England.
But the Premier League is the Premier League. It is the best league in the world.
Talking about the Newcastle bad form, though, I mean, your boy, what, DeAndre Yedlin?
Hey, another OG. A lot of OGs this weekend, right? We've had at least three OGs this weekend and an American on the score sheet, so congratulations.
Yeah, Yedlin.
He's been pretty rough in the last couple of appearances. He's been pretty rough.
All right, guys, the time is almost 20 past 6. We'll be right back. And we're back. So you had something interesting you want to talk about, Alex.
Yeah, so we were just talking about where's Silva going to go, and just like all of us, money's important, right? You know, if you got another job that's going to pay you 50% more, you're going to go somewhere else. So what's interesting is that the Premier League, for the first time ever, has now the average salary for a player is £50,000 a week, which comes out to be about £2.6 million a year, which is higher than any other league. And the only other league, like soccer league, football league, the only other league that can compete is the NBA.
There are players on West Ham making $2.6 million. There are players on Swansea making. That's really... I should have kicked the ball when I was younger.
This is for all the Premier League clubs out there. You can pay me $1 million, and I'll kick it into my own goal for $1 million. Like, you could pay me a lot less, and I'll do the same thing.
You might get the ball a little lower than Boney in front of net. So
that's true. I can keep it at a row Z.
Maybe row R.
All right, so let's move on to the next game. Manchester United versus Brighton. We got lucky. We got real lucky with our goal.
Is it luck?
It was luck.
It was luck two times over, right? First of all, the corner shouldn't have happened.
No.
And then
and the goal should have been disallowed.
The goal, well, actually,
and the player should be suspended. So let's keep going.
And number and it was a deflection goal. So really, you could say it was lucky in three different respects.
Lewis Dunk with an own goal.
Lots of own goals this weekend.
He's the first player to score own goals against both Manchester sides in the history of the Premier League. So congratulations, Mr. Dunk. He's on my
slow
fantasy team, but on my bench.
All right.
It's good that you weren't starting him. Good Lord.
No. Can we talk about Mourinho then? I mean, is he just way too pragmatic for this club?
He's not the right manager for your club.
Listen, I think there's a lot of players that could easily get onto that city side.
They
were talking about this on the...
You're saying there's a lot of United players that could get under the City squad.
Right. In terms of how good they are, I just think that Mourinho has got, in terms of the creativity, stifled.
The issue is, for Mourinho, unfortunately, is that he's in the same league as Pep. So, right now, this start by United is one of their best starts in something like 25 years, or some ridiculous stat. I mean, they're having an incredible start, except that City's having a better start. So, I mean, if United were top of the table, would we be having this discussion?
No.
Maybe, but probably not.
Right.
You know, and I think that has a little bit to do with it. It's got to be killing Pep. I mean, it's got to be killing Mourinho, though. Got to be killing him.
Manchester City went through a spell under Roberto Mancini where we would win matches 1-0. And people would complain because the players were not showing any flair. He was the typical Italian manager, very possession-controlled, taking careful opportunity, careful shots. And I think Mourinho, his pragmatism is just... He does. He stifles the creativity. Look at what he did to Eden Hazard. But now that Pogba's back, I mean, last week you guys were flying around the pitch. This week was a little tougher game against a team that's going to pack it in and was unfortunate with the own goal. As a United supporter, I think you should be over the moon about the results. It's just a shame that the local noisy neighbors are in first place and unstoppable at this point.
So as a United fan, are we overanalyzing this?
I think you just want you. Not only do you want the result, but you want the style the flair
of like Alex Ferguson. You can't have your pie and eat it.
It's a brand. You all have created a brand of the type of football you play, and you're not doing it anymore, and you haven't done it in years.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And I think one of the things that I think is probably frustrating is that you're not playing the brand. You're getting results, but it's not because, again, City is where they are. It's just not yielding what you would typically receive. Again, I don't think we have this discussion necessarily about Pep, about Mourinho, or at least it's not this loud because a lot of people are talking about it. If City were in second place or in third place and United were at the top of the table, I don't think people would be talking about Mourinho.
But you also have to take into account what happened against Basel in the midweek. I mean, they lost 1-0 in Switzerland, granted, and they had plenty of chances, but they can't get the ball in the back of the net. They couldn't do it at the second half of last season. This year, there's no excuses. You have Zlatan back.
Now they have him. That's creating a problem too.
Well, exactly. I think we should talk about that. But you also have Lukaku as well, and there's they had plenty of chances to score, and they didn't in the end.
Before we get too on the Lukaku Zlatan issue, this was the 39th match at Old Trafford where United have not lost. That's over the course of 2 years. The last time they lost was to Manchester City back in October of last year. At the beginning of the season. So as we're sitting here kind of complaining about the style of football, and I'm not. I mean, look, a win is a win.
Put it in perspective.
Yeah, you have to put it in perspective. And I hate that a player like Paul Pogba, who was my favorite player in the world, went to the club who I respect higher than most clubs, but ultimately they're our direct rival.
Right.
And I hate seeing him in those black and red colors. But, he's not getting to roam around like he did at Juve. And he was so amazing at Juve. I mean, the Champions League matches that they played against City, he was on a different planet. Right. And I've not seen that player as much at United. And I watch all those United matches.
Well, he had Pirlo with them.
He had Pirlo, but they're playing him deeper. They're playing him more of like a holding midfielder role, where at Juve,
number six role,
he was playing more where like Rashford or, you know, basically in those top four kind of striker slash winger kind of positions.
And this is the thing that we kind of talked about. One of the fundamental differences between Pep and Mourinho is that Mourinho has a system that he expects to be adhered to regardless of who the players are, basically. And Pep views his system as a means for the players to express who they are, whereas Mourinho wants them to be who he wants them to be. And Christian's right about Pogba. You watch, he just doesn't, he's not, you don't see the creativity out of him that you saw. And I don't think the drop-off in talent is that big from Juve. I mean, we're talking about Pirlo. It's not that big of a difference. He has those people.
So what I would like to say, though, is remember a few weeks ago there was that whole rumor of him talking to PSG? And part of the reason was that he was complaining that Pep was being given the war chest, the city.
Yeah, because United haven't spent a penny.
Listen to me, though. I don't think, regardless if he had been given all that money, it would made any difference. He could have brought in Griezmann. He could have brought in Messi, for all I care. And they would still be playing that pragmatic, stifled play.
I mean, it's possible. I still think that, I know this sounds weird, but Mourinho's father died a few years ago when he was at Chelsea. I still think there's something going on there with him that changed. When you look at the way he won the league with Chelsea, I mean, that team was scoring bucketfuls of goals.
Right.
And then they come back and like they struggle at the beginning of the season, and I still think that was a mutiny. When John Terry writes his autobiography, we're gonna find out that was a mutiny at Chelsea. And
the whole thing with the female trainer,
right, and it's
or whatever,
something it's like something John changed Terry in Mourinho. Too. Like he's surly, and you can't listen to his press conferences. Like he's always throwing barbs and like at the supporters, at everybody. He's just turned into a jerk.
He says one thing in a press conference, like, "Oh, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to complain about something in a press conference." And then the very next press conference, he'll be the exact person complaining about injuries.
I've heard him complain about ball boys in Newcastle. You guys remember that?
Well, and I think the PSG thing, there's probably some truth to those rumors, and I think part of it is Mourinho wants to win the league. Like if he's gonna play, I mean, if he goes to PSG, at least he knows if he can do what he wants and have a chance of winning the league. Here, he's doing what he says he wants to do, and they're second.
Mourinho wants to win for Mourinho, where Pep wins because of the players and the supporters. Mm-hmm. It's all about Mou, and they knew that bringing him in. So this is what
Pep's
you get.
Pep's a player, so that makes sense.
Yeah, Mourinho was a failed player,
exactly.
And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I think there's a lot to be said about what happened with his father, and there's a lot that happened at Real Madrid. He's just not the special one anymore. He's a great manager, but not the special one anymore.
All right, we have to move on. Crystal Palace versus Stoke.
Oh, yeah.
What a game. Must-see TV, as usual. If you know there's going to be a game to tune into other than your club, you got to watch Crystal Palace.
And Stoke, for that matter. I mean, Stoke play pretty well and very open. I thought this was a lot of fun. I texted all you guys as the matches were on. Spurs and United were both playing at the same time Crystal Palace were. So I knew you were watching your sides, but I had that morning free with the Dortmund match going on at the same time, so I put on the second TV, and this was the fun match to watch for sure.
Once it got to the second half, of course.
Right.
So do you think Crystal Palace are now pulling it back out?
I think so. They've gotten healthy. They've gotten their new manager who's had some time there, and it's going to take time. I mean, they're not a good side. Don't look into that any deeper than it is. I think they survive because they've got enough talent. Loftus-Cheek's influence in the match was there.
First goal of his career.
Yeah, and he was in the right place at the right time. I'm not big on like, oh, it's just a tap in. You create that opportunity for yourself by fighting.
Peters created that goal by just watching him go behind him. I think they all thought that Shawcross was going to get put a touch on it, and he didn't. And then Peters kind of, I'll just let it go out the back of, through the end zone, not the end zone, the touch line.
The announcers made a really good point early in the match about how you can't cross the ball against Stoke because of the size that they can put in the box, so you have to find different angles. And lo and behold, that's how Palace get their goal, is that they bring the ball in a little more direct across the box. They avoid the big guys in the middle, and someone's there to knock it in, and then you hang on, and Sakho is there, and Liverpool supporters are pulling out their hair because there's their guy who, you know, probably would be better off at Liverpool for his career, but he saves the day for Crystal Palace.
I don't really follow Crystal Palace that much.
Because of this
so
bam-bam problem.
What happened to Benteke?
He was injured, he's just coming back. I think this was his second match back overall. So, yeah, he's not the striker he was at Aston Villa when, oh, my goodness, that guy was a beast at Villa and then went to Liverpool and didn't really do as well as he did at Villa. But I rate him to score 12 to 15 goals a game. I mean, he's at Crystal Palace for a reason. You know, it's like this is a club who's going to finish 15th to 17th every year, or, you know, if they're lucky, a little higher. I mean, it's not that big of a club. So I'm glad to see them getting off. They're still in the bottom, but they're pulling up.
The thing I like about Palace is they dug a tremendous hole for themselves, but you can see them trying to fight their way out. Whereas some of these other, I mean, Everton, oh Lord,
yeah, they capitulated.
Yeah, I mean, they're just giving. I mean, you know, Palace is at least they're you can see them fighting for everything to get their way out, which I respect.
And they also, they're not playing negative football along the way.
Yes, that's
also
true.
So they're not just packing the box and playing the counter and doing it in an ugly fashion.
They're entertaining their fans, right?
They're going
and
for it.
That's part of it, I think, is to tap into the element there at the stadium where people are just going mental. Yeah, I was going to say
Selhurst Park.
I almost said Salford, so thank you for saving me on that. But yeah, I mean, it's a great park, and the supporters are in full voice. It's a good time. If you ever get over there, I would recommend going to a very small.
And they actually have cheerleaders.
And they have cheerleaders, and they have the eagle flying by, so it's a lot of fun.
I love eagles.
Yeah, and blocked views as well. I sat in a seat that had a blocked view. Wasn't really blocked, though.
Old school.
Yep.
All right, guys, don't forget, you can check us out on our Twitter page, BOTB Soccer. We're running some show polls at the minute. So Big Sam has been linked to Everton again. If he took the job, could he keep Everton up? And out in 78% says yes. So I guess there's some confidence in him. And obviously, what was the goal of the weekend? Out in front is Shaqiri with 75%. Kane with zero.
My vote is for Sigurdsson there. That Sigurdsson goal was pretty sweet.
And he's got 0%.
Well, I just voted.
So, former boy.
He just voted for him.
You need to refresh your page.
And this weekend's clash between Liverpool and Chelsea ended 1-1. So was it points won by Chelsea or points lost by Liverpool? And 80% are in front, points won by Chelsea.
That's a good segue to talk about this match.
Right. It's next game. What do you guys make of it? I mean, obviously, as a Man United fan, I love it when they lose, Liverpool.
We needed a draw. Well, we beat everyone else, right?
As a team at the top, please continue to draw. Everybody draw. That's great.
Yep, the top six can draw against themselves as much as they want.
Yeah, I actually watched this game with all the Liverpool fans at Random Row.
Oh, sorry,
so,
Mark.
No, they're great guys.
I'm kidding, obviously. If you're a Liverpool supporter,
Chelsea got lucky, like you said.
We're
talking about like nicking a point off of them, and I was actually cheering for Liverpool in this game because I know Liverpool's not going to finish in the top four. So if they take 3 points off, take 3 points off of Chelsea, I'm like, let's do this, you know?
Go ahead.
Chelsea really came into play defensive, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that Liverpool have had success against them. There's two wins for Liverpool and three draws over the last five matches between the two clubs, so it looked like Conte was being very pragmatic going in there. I don't know why everybody fears Liverpool as much as they do. Yes, they can run. They are probably the fastest team in the Premier League.
I think they started the wrong lineup.
Mane should have been on. Right. Liverpool, it seemed like both sides were like, we're going to keep some bullets in our gun for the second half. And when I saw Danny,
the 80th minute.
When I saw Danny Drinkwater starting for Chelsea in this match, start of the year, I was like, okay, I mean, yeah, you bought him and he hasn't started, but is this the match you want to start?
Yeah, Drinkwater over Fabregas.
Right, who's been really good, yeah.
The selection for both teams was odd. It was almost like they were both sort of playing for the point, which seems dumb to me since both teams needed the 3 points. And if you're Chelsea, it just seems like Liverpool coming off that, you know, the giving up the 3-goal lead in the second half to Sevilla and all this stuff. Like, it just seemed like that was the time to go after them, and they didn't do that.
Right, and that's a good point to bring up, is that Liverpool completely capitulated in their 3-0 lead in midweek in Champions League and got a draw out of that match, which is just shocking and may even fail to qualify after all this time in Champions League. They may not make it through the group if results go against them in the next round. So I was shocked to see Liverpool not be as aggressive as maybe they needed to be. It reminded me a lot of the United match, where very careful, two boxers kind of feeling each other out as it goes on. But, you know, you're in front of your home crowd, bring it. And I know when City go into Anfield, they'll just bring it and run all over us. But it's very interesting how United and Chelsea were shown a degree of respect, even in the substitutions. It's like Mourinho complained about Klopp not opening the match up when the two of them were playing. But then in this match,
How Klopp, can he do that?
Klopp did go for it. Klopp opened it up, as did Conte. I texted all you guys. I'm like, who's going to make the change? Who's going to make the move here? And then someone's Liverpool scored to open the match or open the scoring of the match. It was a good match, and I'm glad that they split the points. Real good result for the Manchester clubs.
But, I mean, I think a lot of us are looking at Liverpool saying, what are they? Are they top four quality? If you see that game, you have to say.
What I thought.
Yeah, no. but you see
why?
First half they were dominant. Mm-hmm. I thought if you watch the highlights, maybe it doesn't look that way, but if you look at possession, you look at some of the other stats. If you just watch the game, I mean, Chelsea looked like they were scared.
Yeah, totally. Defending champions of England came out afraid
with
to play Liverpool.
With their tail between their legs,
right.
They
after winning
in
Champions League on Wednesday at Carabag, and I thought they'd come out and really put on a show. But we had talked before the match and said, do we think that Chelsea have any chance in this match? And everyone was like, or does Liverpool have a chance? And everyone said no.
Yeah, everyone was saying 3-1,
right,
you know, something
but,
along those lines. High
but
scoring.
Going back to it, Liverpool have had success against Chelsea. So Klopp may have Conte's number, in essence. Although I think this was a better result for Chelsea than Liverpool.
So right, Nana
was at home as well
together?
To Liverpool.
Is that what you think? They have each other's numbers? They drink at the bar together?
German and Italian hanging out? Yeah.
I think they both like to drink. That would probably be a pretty fun time.
I think
time.
For your answer about whether or not they're a top four club, I think they're way too top heavy. I mean, their defense is just shocking.
Yeah.
They need to do something in January.
You know what that is? Liverpool's an easy punching bag because of the defense. And so it's easy to say, you know what, Liverpool, not top four material. But you know what? They can come into your house, which they did to well, I don't know if they came into Arsenal. I forget where that game was. And they just absolutely destroyed them. And so, I mean, on
I
any day,
Arsenal,
Liverpool can crush your team. And that's the thing that's scary about them.
Maybe, but you can't be top four and draw the other top three, the three teams in front. I mean, you just can't, like, you know, you can't go to United and get a draw and go and draw with Chelsea. The City game, I understand there was a red card, but they got destroyed. You can't be top four and play for draws against your competition.
Liverpool, though, did manage a great record against the top four, top six in the last 2 years. So I think they're fine. I think they're right on course. They'll get results going their way. Mo Salah is the player of the year so far.
Yep.
I mean, I can't even like question it.
He's looking great.
He's the best transfer.
Best transfer and best player. Totally.
Absolutely.
Totally.
But I think you got to give credit in the end to Conte. The moves he made in the second half, he brings on Fabregas, he brings on Pedro, he brings on Willian. That was the difference in the game from it being 3 points for Liverpool or point split.
So do you set up going in the first half, say, let's just draw them out to the 60th minute, let's play them, you know, 0-0, 1-0, go down, and then I'm going to bring these guys on, and we're going to race with them. Because I think if you open up a race against Liverpool, you're in trouble. They're going to outrun you, but you're going to get a goal against them because they cannot defend.
Well, I think that they came in exactly with that philosophy. Mm-hmm. They came in, they're going to play it kind of neutral, not do anything special, and then bring on the big guns in the second half and make a run at it. Obviously, you don't want to be behind when you make that run at it. They were behind. They got lucky on the goal. That was definitely a cross, and it turned out to be a goal, and the points were split.
It looked amazing, though.
All right, guys, the time is now 20-7. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. So Southampton versus Everton, we roll into Sunday's games.
I mean, Everton is a dumpster fire. It is so bad. Like, I just feel so bad for Everton supporters right now. And that's not to say that they won't turn it around. I said this on the, like, I don't believe in team form, really. But, man, they got to get that thing turned around because they are just, wow.
Do you know who the victim in all this, I think, is David Unsworth. I mean,
his
manager career is finished.
I don't know if he's going to get another chance anytime soon, but coming off of the 5-1 loss in Europa on Thursday.
That was brutal.
Oh, my goodness.
And at home as well.
At home. I turned the game on. The stands were empty.
Yeah.
So now you start losing supporters. That's when you're in danger because, the team may not be good. Results may go against you. But if the supporters say, we're not in this, that's when you're in trouble.
What's their goal differential in Europe? It's got to be egregious. Because, like, they've lost a couple of games in Europa, you know, 4-1, 5-1, 4. I mean, it's just, they are dreadful.
And this is where we talk of Watford were to make Europa, they'd probably be in the same boat because they don't have enough players to field a B-side or a second team that can go out and play. I think Everton qualifying for Europa last year was a part of the reason that they're in the situation that they're in. They don't need any more matches. They should fail out of every competition that they're in and focus on staying up. If that means losing your first round of the FA Cup, so be it, because you need to stay up.
So I understand, obviously, the Premier League probably means more to people, or on par with the Champions League, but the Europa League to me is a Mickey Mouse league. I know United won it last year. It's good for the winner to get into the Champions League.
You say it's a Mickey Mouse league, but it gave United their path into Champions League.
That's what I said.
Otherwise, they'd not be in Champions League this year.
I think it's good for the winner.
Mickey Mouse league. I'm terrified that we actually have to deal with it.
Yeah, only one of us here can really talk about it. I don't.
No, Alex knows it very well. Tottenham's been in a bunch. So talk to him. He's the expert.
But it's our first year.
So
yeah, and first of many, probably.
When you talk about goal differential, though.
About the table?
So goal differential, minus 11 for Everton. There's only one other club with a worse goal differential in the Europa League. And let me know if any of you have even heard of or even know where this club is from. Vardar.
Wow. Sounds like a Harry Potter side.
It does. It totally does.
Everton have allowed 28 goals in 13 Premier League matches, which is the most ever for them at this point. So,
and Southampton came into this game struggling to score goals.
So bad.
And they ended up scoring four.
Four. Charlie Austin. Oh, boy.
And he first.
How did he get on the list for – did he not – I mean, I saw the goals. I guess they weren't that
spectacular. They weren't all that. They were headers. They were nice. They weren't all that. I mean, they weren't fantastic. And that's his first start of the year. And the question is, why is he not starting more often?
Strikers at Southampton. The Italian player whose name escapes
Tadic.
Me.
Tadic.
No, he's
Gabbiadini.
Gabbiadini. Who I love and came on fire when he came into the... Yeah, he was such a good fantasy player, for sure. He's really faded out. I don't know that he fits there or what. But that's the problem with Southampton, right? They're not scoring goals. And then they start giving up goals because half their defenders are on looking to go to Liverpool.
So what do you? What is
Why everyone, would they want to go to Liverpool though?
Big money,
sterling, pounds, money, euro, yeah, whatever. It's going to be about money, yeah.
So tell me, so Everton have Pickford. I feel so sorry for that guy. I really do.
Yeah.
Last year he was, you know, the hottest ticket, the hottest guy. He was going to be, you know, like one of England's best goalkeepers.
Sorry, where did he play before? I forget the club he was at before coming to Everton.
Well, right, I know,
right,
Sunderland.
Yeah, so they go down, which opens up the ability for him to come to Everton. So from the pan into the fire.
But is it just having a shocking defense?
I feel like it's sort of like when you watch American football and you have this great quarterback and an offensive line that can't, you know, keep him from getting sacked all the time. I feel the same way about Pickford. Like, dude is just...
He's Andrew Luck, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. Like, he's not a bad goalkeeper, but Lord, you can only face so many shots before you're going to give up goal. And some of them are... It's not like there's anything he can do about some of them.
Right, you're only as good as who's in front of you. And if your defense is that bad...
Ashley Williams... You know, like, great career, but boy, it's
done.
That
was a big money move for them.
Big money move. They thought that they were really buying somebody who could shore up everything, and then Michael Keane.
But then they lost John Stones.
Well, yeah.
They bought Keane.
They bought Keane in who...
good. I mean, Keane looked like a good, shrewd buy.
Right.
I think a lot of people thought he was going to go to United first.
All right. We need to move on, guys. Burnley versus Arsenal. Pass it over to Mark.
Come on, baby girl.
This was a tough one to watch. Kind of a boring game, first of all. Yep. And
Burnley doing Burnley things.
You're really punching it up here, too.
Turf Moor isn't the easiest place to play in England. You know, like, they showed that it was a fortress last year. And I thought our movement was pretty good. I thought the way we played, I think we deserved the win. But, man, we left it late.
When Arsenal
got a penalty,
you were in extra time. Yeah,
yeah.
That's as late as
it gets. And when they said 2 minutes of extra time, I was like, "Oh, we're done."
It's the third consecutive meeting between the two sides where someone has scored the game winner in the 90th plus minute. So,
yeah, I know. Last year,
it's almost like just you don't need to watch this match. Just wait till the 90th minute and turn it on as a neutral. You know, that's probably not a lot to watch. I thought it was entertaining though. I wasn't drinking mimosas at that point, like someone here at the table. But
I was.
Yeah. What was the count? I'm going to put the over-under on 5.
I got a carafe, so
nice.
4.
Nice. Nice.
He buys in volume.
Nice.
He buys in bulk.
It's cheaper that way.
I say volume discount.
And I know I'm going to order more than one, so I just double down.
Both sides only managed 2 shots on goal, so this was tough as a neutral to watch.
I thought Ramsey had a really good chance. Ball was fizzed in, and he tried to place it into the goal, and...
How different is this game if Ozil starts? Is it different, or do we get to the same kind
I don't
of?
Think this is a game that Ozil would have been successful in.
This would have been one
with the parking of the bus, like. But I thought he was fantastic last week.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But, I mean,
he slide tackled. He was, like, running hard, and he owned your boys.
He was engaged.
We got to talk about the penalty, though. I mean, I think Ramsey sold it, to say the least. I think arms were extended.
I think it was fair.
By Tarkowski or whatever his name is.
I think it was fair. You don't think it was fair?
I think it was a really
dumb
move.
Well, he's a Tottenham fan, so he's never going to think it's fair.
By that Tarkowski guy who's been having a good season.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't make sense. It looked like the ball was over him anyway. So
right,
like,
right.
Why are you pushing him over?
Right.
And I thought Ramsey, I'm not saying he dove, but he definitely embellished the hands on the back.
Speaking of diving, let's move on to the next match. Because someone dove, according to Wenger, a few weeks ago and had a nice foul in the box today that I'm sure he was probably, Mr. Wenger was muttering under his breath about someone diving. What was the next match, Andy?
That would be Huddersfield versus Man City.
I mean, Sterling should have had a penalty on the play 30 seconds prior to that. So really, he earned two and got one.
So City come off a really difficult match midweek in Champions League against Feyenoord, who played one of the most disciplined systems that you could possibly play against City. They just were so rigid and unwilling to allow City to do anything they wanted to do. And all credit to them, and they took their opportunities rarely when they came, and they got them. And then we go into Huddersfield, which I knew coming off of the spanking that they came off of. I think they lost 4-0 the week before, that we were going to have a really tough match. Fantastic supporters in the stands today for Huddersfield. Yeah. What a great atmosphere. And City score all three goals today. Unfortunately, Mr. Otamendi, who was marauding forward a few
that
times
was
today.
Weird.
Yeah, I think he was. I think Fernandinho was a little tired, so Otamendi decided he was going to go forward today. This is where playing on multiple fronts, you're going to have these matches against these smaller clubs who are going to dig in, and you're tired from your Tuesday or Wednesday match, not Thursday, and have to go play. Have to go play these matches. And all credit to Huddersfield. I mean, they really made Manchester City work.
Talk about the 12th man. I mean, that John Smith Stadium was rocking.
Oh, it was.
Against United as well, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
They must hate Manchester.
Yeah, those Huddersfield supporters are top class. My one disappointment was there was no Patrick Stewart at this game. Captain Picard was not there. I fully expected to see him on the TV today because he's a huge Huddersfield. He was crying when they got promoted. Captain Picard.
Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek.
Come on, man.
I'm a musician.
Mark is looking at you like you're from a different planet. Yeah. So just to unload or unpack a little bit of statistics here, this was 18 consecutive wins for Manchester City, which, you know, that's a big deal. There's some debate about the 17 versus 18 because of the
18 consecutive wins?
Yeah, consecutive wins because they...
Including all competitions.
Across all competitions. They drew against Wolves, and that's a debate that I'm not interested in having. 37 points from 13 matches, which is the best total of points ever in the Premier League at this stage, which is really exciting. And we've won 11 away matches in all competitions, which is a record for top flight in English history. So Manchester City, you know, while I sit here and I say, you know, tough times are coming, it's maybe time to enjoy this a little bit. The bad times are coming. They have to, because there's going to be a return to the mean. We've got big matches coming up against Spurs and United, so those will be telling. We've secured first place in Champions League thanks to our victory against Feyenoord, so we can rotate the squad in that match midweek and be prepared for United. But we play Wednesday, we play Saturday. Like, these matches are going to start coming fast and furious, so Manchester United need to be ready. Danny Rose had said that that Spurs would be prepared when City start to slip. Well, Spurs have scored 1 point since he said that. Not to discount them out of the Premier League race, but you know, this is anyone outside of the top two now have to start looking at, like, we're not catching these guys. And I'd be interested what all you think about that.
I think the race is over.
To be honest with you, like, when you talk about the United game, I just see that 10th of December sign in my head, and I hear the psycho music. It's like it's squeaky bum time.
We talked about this on Monday last week, because I was looking up the stats. I mean, just when you think about it, you know, the City has an 8-point lead over United, meaning that if United have to win, get maximum points for the rest of the season, have to win every single game, and City would have to lose three games at least. Or, you know, right, and they still have to play each other. So, you know, I mean, is Mourinho going to play for a win?
I think City have played extremely well.
It's going to be really hard for anybody to catch them.
There are a number of stats that you can point to show how well they played. But I think you can also say, who have they played? They haven't really.
They've only played who they can play, and that's fair to you.
It's not anything wrong with them, and I'm not saying
they can only play who
negative,
they can play.
But I think that City are going to start to drop points. I don't see this as an unbeatable
I think that's even foolish to. And you're not bringing it up, but people do talk about it. The pundits talk about it, and I'm like, I don't know any Manchester City supporter. Not that I know, you know, millions of them, but I know enough to say that no one is, like, saying undefeated.
Yeah.
It's not even, because for City supporters, we still just want to win the Premier League. That's all that's important to us. Champions League, yeah, great, but really, who cares? It's all about winning England, and that's where all their focus is going to be.
You know, that's funny that you say that. I saw one of my friends just earlier today who's a big Real Madrid fan, and what he said to me, Tottenham supporter, he said, Why don't even need to win the league. You win the Champions League, that's a bigger glory coming from a Real Madrid fan.
They're going to say that.
Which, I mean, I think.
But why? Why is that competition doesn't pay out as much as the Premier League does?
They're going to say that because they got to play Barcelona twice a year.
Simple as this. Which would you rather be, champions of Europe or champions of England?
Premier League champions. It's not even a question.
Yep. All day
you guys
long.
Haven't. You, there's no trophy in Spurs cabinets in, 10 years? And I'm not taking a dig at you.
Arsene Wenger was five.
I find it interesting that you think that Spurs could win the Champions League. And that's fair, because if you're in it, you can win.
We were talking about Leicester last year, right?
Right, but the bottom line to me is no one's overcoming what Real Madrid and Bayern Munich are at this stage, even Barcelona. I don't see it. I think you go into those matches and you're not winning over two legs. But winning England is all within Spurs' hands. It's in Manchester United's hands. It's in Manchester City's fans. Arsenal, again, week by week, I'm becoming the Arsenal fan. They keep getting results. They keep winning when we think they're not going to win.
Now, I will say this. The thing that's impressed me most about City is that they've beaten teams who played wide open, and they've beaten teams who pack it in. And I think, and I said this to y'all when City went down on the own goal and went in halftime, I was like, oh, now they'll park the bus. It's just a bad tactic against City. You can't let them just come at you for 45 minutes. There's no way to resist that. And I think what we've seen is the teams like Napoli that are able to run with, and that's why I think the Spurs match is actually more dangerous than the United match. Because if Mourinho thinks he's going to park the bus on the 10th, they're in for trouble. They're in for a world
squeaky
of hurt.
Bum time.
The
amazing stat that Christian, you sent around, number of successful passes in the second half. Huddersfield, 16, which is shocking in itself. Man City, 285 in the second half alone.
Like I said, this season against West Brom, Man City completed the most successful passes by any team in the history of the league since they've been keeping the stats. So like 11 years. Like it's insane some of the stats they're putting up.
Our keeper is able to outpass midfielders from other sides. And he had a moment today where he played sweeper keeper, and I tweeted to you guys or texted to you guys that I had defended Joe Hart. I died on that hill for Joe Hart because I adore that man. He's such a hero for Manchester City. And when Pep came in and said he can't play the style of football I want, I was thinking, well, a keeper just has to stop shots. That's all he's there to do. I mean, and Joe Hart can do it. Seeing what a player like Ederson does, I'm blown away by the fact that not only can he stop shots, but he can go out and stop any advancement by the attackers really effectively and then pass the way that he does.
All right. Alex?
Yeah, so let's quickly go through the polls we have on our Twitter page, BOTB Soccer.
Thank you for joining us on that, by the way. We'd love to hear your responses.
So first one, can Big Sam keep Everton up if he were to be the man? 78% say yes. Best strike of the weekend, Shaqiri, 60%. And
thunder
finally,
Shaqiri, he's thunder thighs.
I know.
Yeah, the dude's built like
and
a fullback.
Points won or American points won football. By Chelsea or points lost by Liverpool, 67% say points won by Chelsea.
I'd like to have a special shout out to the Stonewall Group for the Rainbow Laces movement that went over the Premier League.
Was that where the
right
the captain badge?
Right, and the officials were all wearing rainbow laces. I look forward to the day where a player takes the pitch wearing those laces as well. We still haven't seen that happen. I'm not sure why. I don't know why we live in a world where people can't be who they are without that kind of bias against them. But I love seeing that the Premier League and MLS does the same thing. There's a lot of support for this worldwide, but it's special to see that the Premier League is embracing that.
But you see this in all sports, even in the U.S. There's not many people that have come out and played at the same time in any sport, whether it's basketball, football, American football.
This is true.
And
not yet. But we're, as these leagues open up and get more supporters across the multitude of people in the world, I mean, statistically, we know that, what is it, 3 in 10 or 2 in 10 are in the LGBTQ community. So I just love seeing the Premier League embrace that and all the clubs really being forward with that. I think that's great. And man, a lot of English clubs have a good history with those kinds of supporters. And I know Manchester City do. I think Spurs do as well, and Arsenal. It's good to see. So it's encouraging. But I really do look forward to the day where players can be who they are and not worry about anything. As well, there was a really great interview on Sky Sport with Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard and Rio Ferdinand, where they talked about the failures of England. I'd encourage anybody who's an English supporter or just a fan of football, why didn't England's great generation not succeed? They talked about how they're unable as players for competing clubs at the top flight of England to really get together when they play with each other for the national team. So Rio was like, I'm not going to talk to Ferdinand or to Lampard because, you know, he's going to go back to Chelsea with all this information. I'm not going to talk to him.
Right. Just before we go, just to let everyone know, the games this week are coming thick and fast. We got Tuesday and Wednesday, all fixtures, then the weekend. So we're going to have double the results to get through next weekend. The time is almost 7 o'clock. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
Daniel.
Christian.
And we hope you have a great week, guys, and we will see you next Sunday, same time, same place.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.